In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the first reading today is from the book of Joshua. Those of you who know the Bible know that we have the first five books called the Pentateuch, often also known as the Torah, though that's not exactly accurate. And then this next book in our Bible is the book of Joshua. And it's a series of stories. There are four main parts to the book. And it's the stories of the Hebrew community having passed, obviously been freed from Egypt and passed through the desert for those 40 years led by Moses, now being led by Joshua. And the stories about their entry into the new land. So that's like the first part of the book. And then the second part is their taking of the new land. So how it is that they took over the space. And the third is about how they then divided the new land among the tribes that were part of the Hebrew community. And the fourth part of the book, and the part that our little pericope this morning comes from, is a story about then how do they live in that new land? How do they live in a way different from the way they used to live, especially the last 40 years? And remember that 40 years in the desert meant that most of the people that started the exile died in the desert, and that most of the people that actually arrived in the new land never knew Egypt. They were a new people. And the Lord is calling them, or Joshua is calling, the Lord's calling them through Joshua to figure out how is it that you are going to live in this new land. And he reminds them that this is new. That you are no longer to worship or even worry about the gods of your ancestors. The ones from before. And that you aren't supposed to worry about or concern yourself even with the gods of the Amorites who used to live here. But you are supposed to concern yourself with one God. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The God of our fathers. The God who brought us out of something old and into something new. And that, brothers and sisters, becomes the pattern of the Hebrew community. Even until today, when Passover is celebrated, it's about celebrating something new. It's about that God being alive and well in the Hebrew community, even today. It's about remembering the struggle from which you were called, through which our ancestors lived, not so that we could be who we used to be, but to be who we are being called to be today. Same thing in the gospel. We see the very same dynamic. We experience Jesus. And it says, St. John says, he's experiencing Jesus preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So if he's preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum, who's he talking to? The Jews, right? Who's going to go to the synagogue? I mean, unless you belong to Emmanuel Church next to us that got flooded at Harvey, they meet in a synagogue. That's kind of cool. But typically, you know, it's the Saturday-Sunday use of the building thing that works great. But we don't go to the synagogue. The Jews go to the synagogue. So Jesus is preaching to the Jews, and what does he say to them? He invites them into something new, right? He invites them into drinking the blood, his blood, and eating his body. We heard that same thing last week over and over again. He invites them into something new. And what's their experience? They walk away, right? And then the next paragraph, we have Jesus, it says, preaching to his disciples. So another community. Jesus isn't in the synagogue anymore. He's preaching to his disciples. He's teaching the people who said they believe in him and they want to follow him. And he tells them, if you want to follow me, you need to leave behind the stuff of your former life. You need to eat my body and drink my blood and be filled with the Holy Spirit and live a journey of life that calls you into today and tomorrow. Right? And what happened there? The Greek, if you read it in Greek, and the translation is says that they walked away from him backward. This says they turned their back on him. It's different. They walked away backward. They were afraid. They didn't want any part of it. And so the disciples themselves, those that committed themselves to Jesus, when he provided them with something that they had trouble believing, they walked away from him backward and said, I don't want any more of this. And so he turns to the 12, right? The ones that have been walking with him. And he says, what about you guys? I don't know how that would look in Greek, but what about you guys? What do you think? And Peter, of course, the spokesman, the loudmouth, actually, of the group, speaks up and he says, we're picking you, right? We believe that you are the Son of God. You are the Son of the living God. That your word is life and love. And then what does Jesus do? He invites them to move forward. These are not stories of 2,000-3,000 years ago only. These are our gospel. This is our good news for today. And it's hard to hear if we really think it through for any of us. Because we tend often to live in the romantic past or the experience of who it was that we were 20, 30, sometimes 80 years ago. Or we think of our church, well, we're not who we used to be. We just don't have, you know, thousands of people signing up to join anymore. Or our families, well, we've lost all of our aunts and uncles, and it's very different now. Or yesterday we celebrated, no, we didn't, we remembered, some celebrate, Harvey's coming to us. We still have members of our congregation who are not fully back into their homes. They are not who they were in the same way they were a year ago. And that's life. We live, we die, society changes, things move. This congregation doesn't have a rector. That's the way it is. That's life. And we can moan and we can groan and we can be dismayed or even depressed because things aren't the way they used to be. But the good news of Jesus is, it's good news. What used to be, used to be. And that's great. But what is. And who we are is who God has called us to be in this moment. And the questions of this gospel aren't about who we were a year ago before Harvey. They aren't about who we were, God knows, 50 years ago or 60. They are about who we are today. They are about God's promise in our lives today. They are about a Jesus who says to us, follow me, in a very real way. And our options are still there. We can say yes, or we can walk away backwards. And most of us, certainly I, during the day, probably do both of them in certain behaviors, in certain ways I respond to the call of Jesus. Because I, like the rest of us, we're human beings. But the call is real. The call isn't about walking away backwards or turning our backs or simply saying no. The call for Christians is to live in the today of who God is calling us to be. The call for this congregation is to live into the today of who we are and into the tomorrow of who we can become. Not in the yesterday of who we were and our happy memories and the way we decorate for Christmas and all the things that can be so important. They're about today. How are we going to be light and life for the world today and moving forward? We look at the politics of our nation, the same thing. It's not about who we were. It's not about reinventing the past. It is about who are we now? What are the present concerns and moral issues in the world in which we find ourselves? And how do we address them? How do we address them by saying yes to the Word of God in our lives? By saying yes to the love that Jesus continues to pour into our hearts? By having faith that if we do the right thing, even if it hurts and might cost us something, God will provide for us at that table. We drink His blood, or we don't. You can just drink a drip of wine, drop of wine. We eat His flesh, or we don't. And when we do, we respond as Jesus would have us respond. And so the message in the scripture today is a difficult one to hear. Because sometimes it's easier to rest on our laurels. We bless backpacks today. We don't bless those backpacks so that the kids can go back to school to the same grade they went to last year. In most cases, that happens. Happened to my mother 3 times. She was in kindergarten for 3 years. She always bragged about that. It's bad when you flunk kindergarten, right? That's bad. But no, we bless those backpacks because we have hope for the future of those children. Even the very, very proximate future, the tomorrow when they go back to the classroom. We bless those backpacks because we have a future, a hope for their future in the short term and in the long run. And why? Because we love them. And so we have to have that same hope for ourselves. Even if we're 70 years old or older or younger, that because God loves us, we will be cared for. We will be nourished for our journey. And the gods of our old life, whatever they were, the gods of the Amorites or the gods of Ascension Episcopal Church 2 years ago, are no longer the same. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ trumps any other little gods, kitchen gods in our lives. And that's who we are called to be intimately connected to when we say yes to Jesus and we live in a spirit given in this community and at that table. And yes, it's easy to sort of hear that being read to us. But no, it's a real challenge to be able to not walk away backward, timidly, when God puts in our face, literally, issues of justice, of peace, of love in our families, among our friends, in our congregation, in our nation, and in the world in which we live. And so we are called upon today, yet one more time, just as Peter did, to shout out from our hearts, "We believe that you are the Son of the living God, and we will live in that love." Amen.